Well, I guess I should have made sure my video was on for those early in the broadcast there. You might have just got like a black haze, and then I popped on. So that was my fault. I apologize. Shouldn't be doing some of the stuff I'm doing behind the scenes, right? Shh, don't tell anyone. Welcome to Hagmann. It's Thursday, August 14, 2025. Don't notice that sigh? I'm just sighing. Just saying. A lot of stuff to get into. Steve Whale's going to come on when he feels like it. I'm joking. He had a better date, apparently, for the first 30 minutes or so. But to make up for it, we're going to be talking about stuff, important stuff like quantum physics, stuff that, you know, we have dinner conversation about. Quantum physics. Yeah, you know, what do you want to talk about there, Frank? Well, let's talk about quantum physics. Okay, that's a great subject. Well, where do you want to start? No, you go ahead and start. With me right now is Daniel Holdings. Oh man, I tell you what, I can't hold a candle to this guy.
Oh,
yeah, it would start him on fire. I'm sure he's loaded with rocket fuel. Daniel Holdings, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doug. It's good to be back with you. It's good to be back with your audience. You know, you make it sound so difficult. Quantum mechanics, quantum physics. I mean, we deal with this stuff every day, and you know what? That's really true. No, it's really true. I am going to show you how we deal with this stuff every day. You just don't know it because no one's ever put it in that framework for you. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Man, I'll tell you what. I had to take physics, okay? And the physics in certain forensic disciplines is important. For example, blood spatter analysis. I can get that kind of physics. But when you get into quantum stuff, does that hurt my head? So how in the heck do we deal with this every day? And I kind of think I know, but go ahead, tell me.
All right. So Einstein, that's Albert Einstein, called quantum mechanics spooky action at a distance. Now follow me. I promise you, audience, it's not going to be a eye dry and hit your head hitting the desk type of conversation coming so boring. This is actually really exciting. But there's a what do you call it? An experiment that was done. I think it was done in like 71 or 72. It's called the Casimir effect. And so what they did is they put two metal plates, just barely not connected. And they put it in a vacuum, and both these metal plates had electromagnetic electricity going through them. And they were doing it to see the effect on quantum, or should I say, atomic particles. And what they saw was stunning, because perhaps for the first time ever, they recorded particles, neutrons primarily, coming in to this sphere of existence and going out from the sphere of existence, and they don't know where they came from, nor do they know where they went. So,
wait. Run that by me one more time. I don't want to seem stupid, but so
there are two metal plates,
right,
in a vacuum.
Got that?
They're magnetized, right?
Right.
And there's a high speed camera on them, right. And they did it with a microscope, and so they're sitting really close together. And what they observed is neutrons coming in beyond wherever they could see into this frame, and other neutrons leaving the frame. Huh. And they don't know where they came from. And they said that they thought it was the quantum realm, right? This other dimension that they could not, it's a famous experiment, but they couldn't figure it out. Okay, so lo and behold, it's 2025. And in 2025, we should be a lot smarter than the early 70s, I would think. I hope so anyway. But still, they do not understand the quantum realm. And I'm not talking, audience, the Marvel quantum realm. You know, Marvel comic books did movies that were talking about the quantum realm. But there really is a real quantum realm. You know what we call it, Doug?
I'll get this. Hang on. Quantum realm. Sleep. No. What? Tell me. Heaven. Quantum realm.
Well, you're close. Space. I think it's the spiritual realm.
Spiritual realm.
I think the quantum realm is actually the spiritual realm.
And please tell me, because folks in chat. I don't know if you guys, but you hear about the third heaven and these different heavens, and I believe right now that I could put my arm out and go into a different dimension. I don't know if that's a thing or not, but I think we're close to dimensions, other dimensions. Am I right on that? And is this what you're talking about?
When I first wrote my first book, it was a fictional book, and you know, you've seen the book, it's Three Days in the Belly of the Beast. It's fiction. That book has to do with the Large Hadron Collider. I wrote it 15 years ago, more now. And so my understanding of the spiritual realm or the, laws of physics were a little different than it is now. But I postulated in that book that Paul said, I once knew a man, that's the Apostle Paul said, I once knew a man in the third heaven. So the simple guy that I am, I reasoned, okay, there's three levels of heaven. That must mean if we thought they were dimensions, that must mean that they are three dimensions. And we live in a 3D universe, height, depth, and width. Einstein said that time was the fourth dimension. So you add three to four, that's seven. And then if you trace it out in the word, there are actually four levels of hell. There's Hades or hell. There's the abyss. There's the lake of fire. And there's something called Tartarus.
Is that biblical? Is that biblical?
Yeah, that's biblical. So there are four in the Bible. There are four levels of hell in the Bible. So you add four to seven, that's 11. That's string theory. And that's string theory being physics. That's what I postulated way back then, 15 years ago. Right. But we haven't had the kind of, we have recently had, I should say, the kind of revelation and understanding of physics like we've never had before. It is mind-boggling the kind of things that they are thinking up and that they're beginning to understand. So what's interesting about this? So let me just bear with me on this. I got to build this story for you. Michio Kaku, world famous theoretical physicist, was caught on an open mic talking about an experiment that they just ran. And this experiment, I forget. It was called the Colbert experiment or something like that. What they were doing is they took AI, artificial intelligence, and they ran the application on a quantum computer. This only happened just last year. And what they did is they wanted to see it was a general experiment to figure out what the fabric of space and time was. So they took all the data that they had from space telescopes and all that stuff like that, and they took all the data that they had from collider experiments, like the Large Hadron Collider. And so he threw it all into this experiment.
Right.
And when the AI started, and again, it's running on a quantum machine. It took like 72 hours to do this. When the AI started spitting out the information, the scientists, the physicists were stunned. I mean, they were stunned because what they found was this AI began to spit out like ancient languages, like Hebrew and Mesopotamian and other languages that they didn't know, these strange characters and stuff like that. It blew because they didn't know where it was coming from. They did not input that information into the machine. The machine came up with that information all by itself. So where is this information coming from is the first question. Then the other thing that they found out is that this experiment showed that the, how can I say this? I have to oversimplify this so you get it.
Please.
That the universe is layered. And it appears to be, if I can say it like this, a computer program, a hologram, if you will. I don't think it's a hologram for 1 second. But the point that I want to make is that it had order to it. The kind of order that programmers use when you program computers and stuff like that, it had rules. For instance, the laws of physics, they said, were too perfect. That there's no way they could be as exact as they are unless somebody programmed it that way. And so to this whole, and I'm oversimplifying the experiment, but Michio Kaku was heard saying, we just went someplace we shouldn't have. We just found out something about the universe that we weren't supposed to. And so it really freaked those guys out. So this is why I say we interact with this realm all the time, because I believe that what we are seeing is when you see a quantum computer begin or AI begin to pull information out of nowhere, that is, they're saying that is a different dimension. That's the quantum reality, the quantum realm. I believe it's a spiritual realm. And I believe that in the quantum realm exist fallen angels, demons, maybe other entities that we aren't even ready to address, and yet they are beginning to pervade our space. And I'm sure Steve has talked infinitum about Earth and the crosshairs and, you know, portals and gateways and stargates, and maybe we'll get a little bit into that tonight. But my point is that realm, that existence is now interfering with our existence. It's now beginning to invade our space, if you will. Now,
how so?
Well, you see, okay. So let's go to your wheelhouse, okay? Today, just today, Doug, there was another shooting, shoot 'em up. I don't know if you heard this. Somebody went out and he shot a bunch of people. And it's like we're seeing this kind of thing.
So it's a regular Thursday. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's a regular Thursday. Yeah. But, you know, last week, what do we have, like 3 or 4? Now, I'm Hispanic, and I grew up in L.A., East L.A., to be specific. And so I know about shootings. So, you know, I know about violence on the streets. I have never, even growing up, I never saw anything like this. This is unbelievable. People have lost their collective minds. But what? Okay, so why? Why is it that people are just losing it and they are... Okay, so there's that.
Daniel, if I can just say this, because I've been dying to get this off my chest all day. I was out walking my dog today, and I had a full blown Karen come at me, and out in the wild, a Karen, and let me tell you something. I'm not proud of how I responded to this full blown Karen, but I got to tell you something. She ran away. Afraid for her well-being, which was the exact message I was trying to convey. Don't get near my dog. Don't ever get near my dog, and certainly stay the hell away from me if you're a Karen. So to what you're saying, I have never seen this level of insanity out there than I have of late. People have lost their flipping minds. Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
So, all right. So with them, I'm apolitical, so it's not a political statement, right? But since the election, we've had this swing the other way, right? So you've brought some semblance of sanity back to the world, right? All the letters that we're supposed to follow, LGBTQ, all that other stuff, we don't have to follow them anymore. And a bunch of all that other nonsense has kind of gone by the wayside. I don't care how somebody lives their life, just don't force it on me, right? That's my motto, right? Live and let live. You do your thing, I'll do my thing, but just don't make me do your...
Yeah, you want to kill a few hamsters? That's on you, man. Stay the hell away from me. Go ahead.
So Karens, stay away from Doug. So,
Karens are... Karen dudes, I don't care. Go ahead.
So, I mean, that's a perfect example, though. You have people that should be rational and logical when you see a situation. Doug, I like archaeology. I like history. I like archaeology. To my knowledge, and I'm a simpleton, but to my knowledge, they have never dug up but two sexes. They dug up men, and they dug up the bones of women, and that's it. Then there's been some other weird stuff, but the 36 genders out there, they don't exist, right? They've never dug them up. So, you know, this is part of my point. And again, I don't care if people live their lives, but there's this insanity that is, you know, that has just enveloped the earth. Now, why is that? Well, I think it's these extra dimensions. It's these dimensional beings. Well, it is Satan, ultimately. But how? How is it? I believe that, okay, so God set a divide between the supernatural realm or the quantum realm and our physical realm. Why? To protect us, because there's stuff there that shouldn't be here. So what I think we have seen is that divide has been broken. It's been torn. And Steve would say that it was torn down. But what I think you're seeing is the permeation of these beings that should not be here, and they are evil. Right. When you see people begin to lose their minds, go nuts, or you see people begin to just be engrossed in violence, right? That's not normal behavior. So, you know, what I think is, excuse me one sec.
Sure. Daniel Holdings, by the way, folks, go to his website. If you like what you're hearing, get his books, okay, for totally different reasons, but get his books, danielholdings.com. And it just escaped me, .tv.
Not shaking, .tv.
Not shaking, .tv. Man, I'll tell you, my head's like spinning there. I'm still working on the Schrodinger's cat of the two plates. And anyway, okay. Not shaken.tv, danielholdings.com. And of course, Gen 6. Daniel Holdings is a quality, an incredibly intelligent, articulate man. And I'm so proud to have him with me. Go ahead, sir. Continue.
Doug, you need to have higher standards, buddy. I'm telling you. All right. So, If you went back to the Bible, okay, what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Jesus said in Matthew 24, his disciples were all over him. When are you going to come back? When are you going to come back? When are you going to return? When are you going to restore the kingdom? Blah, blah, blah. And they're on him. So he gives them this dissertation, whether it be earthquakes in diverse places and all this other stuff, right? Wars and rumors of wars. Certainly, we're not seeing any earthquakes, Doug. And we're not seeing any wars, rumors of wars. And so he gives them all this stuff, but then a little later on in that same passage, he says this: it will be as in the days of Noah, right? That the Son of Man comes back. Okay, so the question remains, what were the days of Noah like? Well, you can find those days in Genesis 6. That's where we get Gen 6's name at. That's where Steve got it at anyway. So I went to Genesis 6 and I looked up what the days of Noah were like, what Noah's days like, right? One of the predominant factors in Noah's days is that the earth was filled like violence and man had corrupted its own way. That word, the language in that passage gives the impression that everything was corrupt. The sky, the sea, the ground, the people, the animals, the plants, everything had been corrupted. Now, the interesting thing is, Doug, they just released yesterday, I think I saw it. You can now get man-made salmon in the grocery store. They have lab-grown salmon in the grocery store. And soon beef will come, and soon chicken's coming, and probably pork as well. So you... I don't know about you. Marvelous. I'm not eating that stuff. Exactly. I'm not eating that stuff. But, you know, if you go to the top, if you were a scientist and you went to the tallest mountain in the world and you took samples of the dirt or the snow, I guess, if it was the tallest mountain in the world, you would find microplastics in there. If you went to the very bottom of the sea in the lowest trench in the oceans, you would find microplastics. If you took some samples of the soil on the ground, you would find Microplastics. If you went and you picked flowers, you would find microplastics. If you went to our own food, you would find microplastics. And microplastics have now corrupted us. They've actually got inside of us. We too, as it says in Genesis 6, have corrupted the whole earth. And so, okay, then is the other thing that was predominant in those days is the word says that, and the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. And we know that the Nephilim were around during when David was around and during when they went over into the promised land. And so we see giants and Nephilim. But what are Nephilim? Nephilim are fallen angels, right? Giants are Raphaim, which are mighty men, but the Nephilim were fallen angels. And I believe it is those very same, not the very same, because some of those are locked up in the abyss, but it was the same fallen angels that are in the quantum realm that are beginning to interact with mankind. But there's also demons in the quantum realm. What are demons, Daniel? I mean, everybody talks about demons. Well, if you talk to Steve Quayle will tell you that demons are the disembodied spirits of giants, right? Angels don't die, so therefore they don't give up a spirit. But a giant can die. And if you look at the Book of Enoch, what you see is that the giants or these demons wander the earth looking for a place to call home, and that's how they invade people and all that other stuff. So there's a ton of them. But my point is that in that realm, in the quantum realm, the spiritual realm, there's all this stuff that we are ending up interacting with, and people don't understand just how serious it is. So that's what I mean, Doug. When I say that, you know, this is, you actually interact with this stuff all the time and not know it. That's what I mean. The quantum realm has actually been part of our lives for a long, long time. We just haven't put two and two together.
So, okay. Would you say then, for example, give me an example. I know you did, but okay. Here's the way I look at it. You've got these people who are otherwise rational human beings suddenly overtaken with some sort of mental, somebody flipped a switch in there. Okay. And now they think, well, you know, I'm feeling more like a woman, so I'm going to have my pee-pee cut off and I'm going to grow breasts and take, hormones. Okay. To me, that does not come naturally. That to me is an infestation of evil, along with those doctors, nurses, healthcare professionals, insurance, anyone else, and even family members of people like that who are enabling and supporting them. There is this. Okay, to me, that is like what you're talking about, being infused into a human being. Is that an example? Or
no, that's a great example. And okay. And what I think is what you're talking about is a demonic infestation. But how did that happen? Well, they've been let loose out of the quantum realm. Remember in Revelation, now this will scare some people. In Revelation, it says that woe to you, inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you, and he knows his time is short. Right? So that gives me the impression that all of this crazy stuff happens at the end of the age, and people are not ready for it. And it's going to be so bad that even John, the Revelator, had to say, well, wait a minute, you guys are in trouble. That's what woe to you means. It means you guys are in trouble. And so I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing this demonic infestation, but where do they come from?
Pardon me for interrupting, but you said it yourself too, when you talked about the lab grown meats and fish and stuff like that, that not only, well, okay, we're seeing DNA in animals, plants, and people being changed. And then we're seeing this lab-grown stuff that we are to consume. I find it difficult to believe that by consuming it will not have an adverse impact on our DNA, our genetic makeup. So you're seeing evil just all around. And, you know, the mosquitoes that are injected with this, bred with this mRNA stuff to when they bite people, animals, and what have you, supposedly give you some whatever protection against whatever they're fighting against, which is an attack on our genetic makeup. Having said that, going back to the days of Noah, it's kind of the same scenario, right?
Exactly. It's exactly the same kind of scenario. And Doug, you know what your problem is? You're a thinker. You want to think. You want to reason.
I got a lot of problems.
You should just follow what they tell you to do. Oh, you'll be okay. You know, take a shot. And there.
Now, but see, man, this is why I love you. Folks, Daniel Holdings, a great guy, and I'm proud to have him on and proud to be called his friend or call him my friend. But people have lost the ability to think for themselves. And as I said yesterday, I think on the show yesterday, you know, people are mocked for doing their own research. They're saying, others will say, well, you go to the internet for your research. No, the internet is just the vehicle to take you to peer-reviewed studies and other research examples and what have you. It is thinking for yourself, researching for yourself, finding out what you can do to help yourself if you got physical issues or whatever. And we've lost that drive. A lot of people have lost that drive, not to be confused with collectors of information only, where they'll collect information but not do anything with it. They have it, maybe to impress their friends. I don't know. But Daniel, I didn't mean to interrupt. Continue, sir.
Well, you made me think about something. Well, actually, you made me think of a shameless plug. And so, audience, here's a shameless plug for NotShaken.tv. NotShaken's my podcast, and it's probably the most unique podcast out there because I am a film producer and a writer. You know, it's pretty interactive, NotShaken. And I take this kind of information, I put it in a logical manner for people to understand. But the reason I bring it up is because I always try to start out the program with something light, even though we may get into heavy, heavy information. As an example, I went over last week the potential of World War III, right? And so, but that's really heavy, especially when you start looking at all the specific details that are going on behind the scenes. It can be scary. So what I try to do is I try to season the information with something light. And so I'll put something light at the beginning, something funny or something like that. So I just saved a clip to your point, Doug. I just saved the clip to share on my broadcast. It's, and I don't know her name, but it's this clip of a comedian, right? She's standing in front of, and she's probably, mid 40s, maybe late 40s, 50, early 50s. So she's standing in front of an audience. Obviously, she's doing her stand up, and she says, "Oh, I'm sorry. I might say something here that might offend some people, but I'm a Generation Xer, and we were taught, don't tell anybody. We were taught to critically think through issues," and the audience starts busting up. So she's apologizing for being a critical thinker. Obviously, you want to be critically thinking through today, but most people will just take people's word for it. You know, should I get a shot? Oh, yeah, I get a shot. It's good for you. In fact, get five of them. It'll be okay. You know, just eat that salmon. It'll be fine. No, right. You need to think for yourself. And it is dangerous days. I mean, these are dangerous days. And if we're not thinking for ourselves or doing our own research, we could be in big trouble.
Man, you got that right. And I should add this, the way you kind of infuse the quantum mechanics, quantum physics into our really everyday life was, I appreciate how you did that. And if you want to add or continue with that to whatever end you're you might be wanting to get to go ahead, because I think that's one of the as I sit and think, whether it's with my dog or whatever, just outside by myself, as I think about things, I wonder about heaven, earth, hell, the dimensions, things that you mentioned, obviously time, and man, I'll tell you what, there's a lot to consider in the world. To me, the world has a lot to offer that we have no idea. The world in which we live is much more complex than we even believe it is. Does that make sense?
No, it really makes sense. I was, it must have been the early 2000s. I was a financial guy, had my own practice. And we had some friends that came in from, I think they were from Michigan or something. And so they wanted to go to the beach. So our families went to the beach. And I'm standing, and I wasn't nearly as crazy as I am now. I mean, I was much more mainstream back then. I was a business owner, straight-laced kind of guy. And we're standing on the beach. But I've always had these beliefs that there are things that the mainstream doesn't believe. For instance, when I was a kid, I was up, I was in the Sierras. We were backpacking, a big group of us. And I'm sitting in my sleeping bag at night. I'm trying to lay down and go to sleep. And I look off in the distance and there's a light that's going like, what is that? And then it's gone. I was like, that was a UFO. I must have been 12 or 13, something like that. Well, the funny thing is, that stuck with me my whole life. I mean, I remembered what that was. Well, he is a nut. He believes in UFOs. Well, there's a lot of talk about UFOs these days. And if you've seen some of our films in Gen 6, you know that we talk about that kind of thing from time to time, although we think they're probably fallen angels and not, aliens. They're aliens. They're fallen angels masqueraded as aliens. But I digress. So society is now kind of catching up with that whole idea. Let me go back to what I was telling you about the lady for. So we're standing on the beach. And I asked her, our families are standing together. I said, something about they're probably UFOs. She looks at me, Doug, and she says, she goes like this, I don't believe in UFOs. And that was, so that was maybe 20 years ago, maybe a little longer. And lo and behold, they are now having, and I think they're kind of a sham, but they're now having hearings on UFOs. And we've covered some of those in our films. On Capitol Hill to talk about, they redubbed them UAPs, but they're still UFOs. But here's my point, right? This interest in UFOs was one time considered fringe, and now it's becoming mainstream. And the reason why I bring up the quantum realm to you, it's very apropos, I think, because just today there was an interview that came out with Ana Paula Luna. You know who Ana Paula Luna is?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
She's the congresswoman, in case you don't know, audience, for Florida. She's kind of hot, Doug. I mean, she can fire a mean AR-15. I mean, but she's just like a regular person that wants to think through it. It's interesting. I wish she was our congressman in Kentucky. I live in Kentucky. But Ana Paula Luna is sitting with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan, of all people, right? Sitting with Joe Rogan. And his interviews, I think they last like 3 hours or something. So sometimes you'll see little clips from the interview. And this particular clip was Ana Paula Luna talking about the fact that she is on the UAP subcommittee in Congress. And in this interview, national interview, right? She says that we know that there are extra dimensional beings or interdimensional beings, depending on how you want to call it.
And not intergalactic.
No, not intergalactic. And
right.
And people, and you know, I've been talking about such things. Steve's been talking about such things for years, right? And now you get a congresswoman on national television saying it. And that made the Daily News front page or something. You know, so that was really something. But, and she described them. Now, the funny thing is, in one of our films, I think it was a film just, it wasn't, Earth and Crossroads was our last film. It might have been in The Lies of Men and Gods. But we got a hold of some information that there were some interdimensional beings or extra-dimensional beings that were at a mall in Miami. And they freaked out the whole city. I mean, there's cop cars over the place. People were describing what they looked at, they terrorizing people. And then there was also some spotted in Las Vegas the very same year. And so we reported on those things. People look at our films like, oh, you guys doing this to make money and make, no, it's the truth. This stuff is going on. So anyway, you get a congresswoman today saying, hey, there are extra dimensional beings. But Doug, if that were the only thing, I would stop. I would maybe not even bring that up. But another interview that came out today, and it, I don't know when it was taken, but it was on Redacted, with Clayton Morris and his wife. And so, on this show, there's a doctor, whistleblower, and he is talking about the fact that there are four different alien species that we know of, right? There's the, now this is not me. I'm not, this is what this guy said, right? There's reptilians, they're insectoids. There's like, what do they call these? They're like blonde haired, really tall albino type of people. And there's, I don't know, one other guy, but he named all four. Now, this is a reputable guy. This is not Daniel Holmes or some fringe nut job, right? This is a reputable guy. So anyway, where do these come from? Because you said it. We look off into the vast distance of space, and you don't see spaceships coming here. I mean, you might in our own, but notice they're in our own atmosphere, right? They're not coming in from way out there, right? They're here. Now, how do they get here? Because they are interdimensional beings, right? They have technology that can get them from there to here. We covered that in Earth in the Crosshairs, that they were using stargates, portals, and wormholes. And we documented all kinds of different examples of them. People look and say, oh, he's just making films. That's Gen 6 and doing what they always do. No, folks, this is what has been going on for a long time, and only now is it coming mainstream. But my point is, Doug, that all of that stuff is coming from what I believe to be what we call the quantum realm. And so that's the spiritual realm. And I mean, of course, there's physics involved in all of that. But my point is that we always have dealt with this, and we will deal with it even more in the future. So hopefully it's not too far off base.
Why? You say we're going to deal with this more in the future. Why?
Because the devil has come down to you, and he knows that his time is short. Because ultimately, I believe that these entities are controlled by him. I think it's a ruse, Doug. I don't think they're aliens. I think they're fallen angels. I think
agreed.
I think they have been perhaps genetically made in a laboratory to look the way that they look, or whatever the case may be. Maybe they're angels that are shape-shifting. I don't know. But I believe that they are demonic entities or fallen angels that are actually pervading our space to fool mankind. Now, there's a big warning that went out, and not too long ago. They said, oh, that's right. There was an interview, another whistleblower from CIA Black Ops guy. And he said by 2027, they believe that there's going to be an event. They don't know what the event is because they can't get this information out of them, but it's going to significantly change the way that we think on planet Earth. And so he's postulated, what is that, an alien invasion? Is that, you know, AI becoming sentient? What is that exactly? They don't know. But what they are saying is that there's something significantly going to happen. Now, what you are seeing is just like this ramp up of you know, things beginning to happen, and these different entities being seen or not seen. And what we are seeing is more and more people coming into this understanding that there is something more to life than what we see in this 3D realm. There are these other, you know, these other beings that have pervaded our space. So when I say that,
if I can ask this, though, those beings that we see, or no, the beings that come in to this dimension from other dimensions, none of them are godly or good. They're all evil. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that, okay, so let me set the record straight. I think fallen angels are interdimensional beings as well.
Agreed.
I mean, I'm sorry, not just fallen angels. I think angels are interdimensional beings. And I think that they pervade our space, although we don't see them. We see them far less than what we see evil entities. So it's not just the evil ones. I think the angelic are also involved, but they don't need to scare people. They don't need to do the things that, you know, fallen angels is doing. But my point is that realm, that quantum realm, that supernatural realm is not exclusive to the bad ones. The good ones, you know, go around that way. But I think, you know, fallen angels are a little different, because I think when they fell, when they left their first estate, the Bible says, I think God clipped their wings, that he had limited them. That's why they use technology to do those things that they once could do naturally. So that's why you see them using technology, because God has limited them on the things that they can do, can or cannot do. You know, the crazy thing is, Doug, in First Colossians, it says that, in chapter one, it says that Jesus made everything, that he made everything, and that by everything, he holds everything together, and by everything, by him, everything exists. And so when you look at that, when you look at the fact that he is in ultimate control, he stands outside, him, the Father, the Holy Spirit, they stand outside of time and space. Fallen angels and angels are created beings, so therefore they are within time and space. They have their own dimensions as well, I believe, but they are confined, because God is eternal. So he's not bound by the physical laws that his creation is bound by. And the funny thing is, though, if you look at, and we're going to talk a little bit about this maybe after the break, but when you look at Satan, right? When you look at Lucifer, because I think we're coming into a really, really, really critical time. I think we are entering into the end of the age and all the things that entails. I think that entails the mark of the beast system that I, you know, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that I think are actually in place, being put into place now. But the point is that when you look at what is about to take place, it would seem that the enemy has some free hand to do what he wants to do. He has a short time. You know, people argue, well, that's 3.5 years or whatever. Listen, I don't want to get into numbers. I'm just saying it's getting very, very late in the game. And then you look at in Isaiah where it says that Lucifer, who is Satan, was a cherub, a fallen cherub, not actually an angel. He was a cherub. But he said, he was a head cherub. He used to lead worship. He said, I will be like the Most High. Well, hold on a second, Doug. The Most High, he's talking about God, God Almighty, right? God created everything. How can he be like the Most High? He's a created being. Lucifer is. That's not going to stop.
Counterfeit everything. Exactly. I don't want to say the opposite, but I guess the opposite of creation would be the counterfeiting of creation, or whatever the counterfeiting of everything, really. Go ahead.
Well, you look at God, and in the Word, it gives us some attributes of God, right? What do we know about God? What does the Bible tell us? God is omnipotent, right? Means he's all-powerful. He's omnipresent, means he's everywhere. There's a bunch of other omnis that he is in there as well. But let's just take those two, right? How would the devil, at the end of the age, look like he was all-powerful and look like he was everywhere? How would he do that? He would do that with AI. And what we are seeing now is this how AI and quantum mechanics are so entrenched. That's why I started off with quantum mechanics and quantum physics. Because if you don't understand that there's a whole other realm there that we call the quantum realm, and it's the supernatural realm, then you will not understand how AI can become what AI is about to become in the very near future. There are, and we'll talk a little bit more about this only when Steve gets here, the bum, but we're not going to, I didn't say that. Cut that, Eric.
and folks, by the way, just a shy lesson. 2 weeks ago was Steve's birthday. He is right now, I'm talking out of school now. He is, enjoying, I think, enjoying.
They threw him a surprise birthday at a restaurant or something.
Yeah,
and so unexpected. He was supposed to be here. That's why we're messing with him. But we're not.
It's okay. It's okay. I mean, I loved folks, Daniel Holdings, danielholdings.com. Link will be in the program description box at thehagmanpi.com. I love talking to this man. By the way, are you getting the old Art Bell vibes, people? I miss Art Bell. Just a whole lot, but Daniel Holdings would be, I'm sure, a fixture on.
It's funny you say that, because I was just on Coast to Coast a couple nights ago.
No, my goodness. Okay.
That is a rough gig. That's a rough gig. I mean, you and I both live on the East Coast. So, well, you live on the Coast. I live in Kentucky, which is the Eastern time zone. But, we're the latest but California, where Coast to Coast is, it's like 3 hours earlier. So,
can you come on for 3 minutes to talk about? No.
It's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, not going to do that.
Well, I had a good time over there, but actually, because it was coast to coast audience with George Norrie over there, I did start this conversation. I've been thinking about these things a lot lately, and in fact, audience, if you go to my website, danielholdings.com, there's a sample of Not Shaken on there that I did, my latest episode. Now, it was a special report that I did. I was so impressed by it. I was so, how can I say this? I was so, it was so heavy on me that I made it available for everybody. Not Shaking's a paid subscription, but there are some free episodes I released to everybody. So I put that on my website for people to look at, because it was stunning, Doug, the kind of things that are developing right now between quantum physics and AI and that kind of thing. I mean, it is mind blowing where we are. And I really do believe that we are headed toward the mark of the beast. We are actually not headed toward, I take that back. We are seeing the establishment of the mark of the beast system. Let me ask you a question, because I know you're a world traveler, right? Do you have a real ID?
No, I don't. I cannot get on an airplane to fly domestically. I'm not allowed in any federal building. That is, of course, unless they drag me in under a warrant, which is not that much of a stretch. I refuse real ID. Sorry, I'm not going to make it easy for them.
I have refused real ID as well, up to this point anyway. And it's biometric. Right. You have to scan your thumb or your eyeball, depending on where you live, I suppose. And I'm not putting my thumb in anybody's database. But I'm sure my thumb is someplace. I was in the military, so I'm sure it is someplace. But the point is that I don't want to become part of the system. Right. And I will resist the system for as long as I possibly can.
And I pay cash for everything that I can pay cash for. I don't use those stupid cards. I don't want a car that tells me what it is smarter than me. I don't want license plate readers. I'll leave that alone. There are certain things I'm fighting back to the best I can. Screw them. Okay. Because I'm not making it easier. Is that going to win anything at the end of the day? Probably not, but it ain't going to make them happy. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I mean, along with that, when they say, okay, now you need a chip in your hand or you need a chip in your brain to buy and sell, I refuse, right? I'm not taking any mark, period. And so these things come at a cost, right? It means that I'm not getting a real ID, so I can't fly. And I don't even think you would travel across state line without a real ID. I think you can't do that. Supposed to have a real ID if you travel.
The hell with them. I'll cross every state line in my vehicle that I want to cross. What are you going to do about it? Seriously, you're going to get are they going to pull you over and say, oh, well, you don't have a real ID. You're in the state illegally. Show me that in the state.
Constitution.
Show me that in the laws. Well, Constitution, absolutely. But how about the state statutes, you know, the criminal or civil statutes? Is it there? I haven't been informed of that. I do watch laws that are passed in different states at that state level. But you know what? If that's the case, let's get it on. Let's get it on. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the point is that we all are going to have to make choices here. And so where do you stand? Where do you draw the line? Right. You could say that I drew the line with the vax, right? I wouldn't take any shot. And, you know, I know people that did, Christians that did, but I wasn't taking one. And so you have to stand up for what you believe sometime. Otherwise, you get washed away by the flood of the ugliness. You know, talking about I found something out today. It was stunning, Doug. You know, they have the Constitution. This is very disturbing. I want to get your take on this. I know you're the host, but I host a few radio shows myself. So,
please, you're a hell of a lot better than I am. Go for it.
So you know that Trump has sent in troops into Washington, D.C. Part of me says, yes, that place is a hellhole. But the other part of me says, uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly. I said that last night. Yes.
Well, he's also talking about sending troops into Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago, any place the crime is rampant. He wants to send troops. I'm like, well, okay, if you want to start a civil war. I'm not talking about civil war. I mean, I don't. I've been getting rid of law. You know, establishing law and order is a good thing. But there will be some people that will rebel against that kind of thing. My point is that today, just today, this is kind of freaky. The US.gov has a copy of the Constitution on their site, right?
And I know what you're going to say, and say it loud. Go ahead.
And they have removed the two paragraphs that deal with the writ of habeas corpus.
Truly accidental. Whoops, we forgot. It was a typo, big typo thing.
What's the writ of habeas corpus, Doug?
The writ of habeas corpus. Bring the body here, basically.
Well, it's the right of a speedy trial. It's the fact that you get to go to court, right? That you can't just be arrested. So they took out the fact that, okay, there's laws. We have a law that we can't just arrest you, right? And you get a trial. Why would they take that out? Why would the U.S. government take that out on the heels of taking over the nation's capital and talking about taking over other and folks, I'm a conservative, right? I'm not MAGA by any means, but I'm a conservative. I'm neither Republican or Democrat. I'm kind of in the middle of the road, but my point is, because I'm apolitical, but my point is, I'm not talking about any specific party. My point is that I'm talking about the Constitution, Doug.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
That is very scary. And I have some other thoughts that I will not share with your audience because they are not ready for such things.
Well, I'll tell you what, I always think that our audience, and I believe this, is ahead of the curve, really mentally, intellectually in the top percentage of podcast listeners. Not because of me, but because of what I see from them. Okay. What I read from them, with a few exceptions, but anyway,
I, by the way, that's not an insult to your audience. I love your audience, and I think they are thinkers.
But yes.
My thoughts on where we are right now within terms of where we are in time, where the Bible is concerned,
yeah.
And there's a character at the end of the age that shows up. That's what I'm talking about.
and
dangerous talking.
Extremely, because that is... that has a tendency to be divisive. Okay. And when you get to that point and start talking in that very, with any degree of specificity, there's always this, trouble that follows. So you're wise to do that. And I appreciate you or not do that. And I appreciate that. But I think people have to recognize how close we are. And going back to what you said about the federal troops, man, when I first heard it, I thought it's about flipping time. However, when you sit in the quiet or next to a computer or whatever and do the research, think about this, because just like the Patriot Act, there are unintended consequences. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I thought that the same thing. I remember when the Patriot Act came out, and I was like, yeah, you know, this is a great thing. It's not such a great thing. You know, it turned out not to be such a great thing, but we were told it was for our safety. Who was it that said it? I think it was Benjamin Franklin. You got to help me here, because I know you're a thinker. Those who would give up their liberty for safety and security deserve neither.
Yeah, I think it was Franklin or Jefferson, or actually a couple of our founders said iterations of that phrase. But I think the person you're thinking of is Franklin. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So,
well, I mean, but that's just indicative of the time we're in. So, all right. So, audience, because I know we're coming up at the top of the hour. Now, if you wanted to established a totalitarian government, right? I'm not saying that one is getting established. I'm just saying if you wanted to, would you not strategically begin to take out strongholds of a political enemy in order to do so? And would that not cause violence on the street?
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned my books, all joking aside, especially, I lose my mind when I'm on with you. It's like, I'm not a serious guy any longer. I get on with Doug Hagman, I just speak my mind.
Sorry, I rub off on you, man, because I don't know.
Who sang that song, Friends in Low Places? Who's that? I don't do country, so I don't know. But anyway, you know, when I wrote those books, they were a summary. And in the audience, that is not a shameless plug. I'm just telling you where it came from. They were a summary of the things that I saw through my mind's eye, my supernatural mind's eye. I had dreams. I had visions. I had words. I searched the Bible. I searched the news. And God just dumped all of this information. And I was like, God, how am I supposed to tell the people about these things? And he gave me the idea to put it in a fiction book. And I didn't know that it would turn into three different books. But, so when I talk about Civil War, when I talk about what could happen, Doug, I've actually seen it. I've seen it happen. And it's in those books. And it's, obviously, it won't play out exactly the way it is in those books, but I've seen it happen. So when I was on with George Norrie the other night, he asked me, he said, Daniel, do you think there's going to be World War III? And I was quiet for a second. And you're never quiet on the radio. You got to talk. You got to run your mouth. That's the whole reason for the radio.
Right.
But I was quiet for a second. And I said, George, I've seen it. I saw neutron bombs fall in the United States. And so I said, yeah, I think there will be a nuclear war. It may not totally decimate the country, but we will certainly feel its impact. And then, of course, I'm not alone by any means. I mean, there are people much, much more spiritual than I am. Dimitri Dudeman, Henry Groover, you know, David Wilkerson, all those guys and other people, they all saw stuff like that. So I think it's coming, but it's just indicative of the time that we're in, Doug. It is the end of the age. And I think the sooner that people wrap their heads around that and they begin to walk circumspectedly, because, you know, here's the thing. Here's the bottom line. And I, you know, we try to stay away from super spiritual subjects because people turn off and such things. But the bottom line is, okay, so here's a non-super spiritual subject. When I was coming up, before I got saved, one of my favorite groups was Rush, right? I like rock and roll, Rush. And so there's a song that they do. I think it's called Limelight or something. It might not be that song, but he's going on, the singer, Geddy Lee, he's going on, and he says something to the effect of, you have to make a choice, and if you make no choice, you've already made a choice, right? So here's the caveat. It's right. You can sit back and not decide to follow Jesus. That is your choice, but you are making a choice, because one way or the other, we will all see him. See, that's the thing, Doug. If I live to be 100, or I live to be, you know, well, I'm 62 now. So if I live to be 63 and die off, then I'm still going to see him. But all of us are in the same boat. So what he gives us caution in his word, and he tells us that he is the way, the truth, and life, and we don't follow him, we will live with that choice. And so we are coming into a time, a season at the end of the age when people are going to lose their lives and bad things are about to happen. And we have to choose to either follow him or not. And if you don't want to choose, you've made a choice. That's the bottom line.
Yes, deciding not to act is an act in and of itself. And no one can, we cannot sit on the sidelines. At least this is my view. We are in the fight of our spiritual lives today. And hey, you know, you don't have to agree with me, knowing that. But the way I look at it is we're in a spiritual battle. And I'll tell you what, we are, anyone who is involved in the spiritual battle is taking on some heavy, heavy incoming. I'm telling you that flat out. And that goes for
Daniel. They're assaulted by carrots as they walk down the street.
Yeah. I'm telling you. However, what's the alternative if you don't decide, if you're not for righteousness, if you're not for fighting for your spiritual destiny, then what in the hell are you doing? There are no sidelines here. You're either in it and for good, or you're lukewarm and will get vomited out of the mouth.
Lukewarm and miserable. I asked, you know, it's funny. We were talking about earlier the spiritual entities that are pervading our space. And, you know, we gave a extreme example of violence and evil, but all around us, Doug, when you look at people, what are their maladies today? Now, I'm not talking physical maladies. I'm talking about emotional maladies or spiritual maladies or, those kind of things that you don't see. People are stressed out like crazy. You always hear this phrase, my stress, right? My stress.
Yep.
Or they are, they're fearful. They're scared to death, right? They have anxiety, or they're depressed, right? See, I think that the enemy, demons can actually manifest in these ways too. They torture us like that.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when we choose, see, here's the thing. We want to choose to live life on our own terms. We want to do whatever we want. Now, listen, I wasn't always a Christian. I understand. I understand what it's like to live life however you want it, but there are consequences to living life however you want it.
Yes, sir.
You don't get the benefits of walking with the Lord. What the anyway you're talking about? Those are just that's spiritual talk. No. The Bible says this, Doug. It says that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. Against these things, there are no laws. And it goes on. I think I left some out. But the point is that there are benefits to walking with the Lord. Jesus, when he was talking, I think it was in he was in Galilee, and he was talking to, it might have been on the Sermon on the Mount. He said something about being able to have peace that surpasses all understanding. In these crazy days, and they're only about to get even crazier, don't we need that peace? Don't we need that? See, but we want to live terms on our, we want to live life on our own terms. We want to do whatever we want.
What about the warrior spirit to fight against that? This is where I'm torn. And I could certainly use your advice because I'm the kind of guy, okay, and most people listening to me know me. If I see a problem, okay, every problem that I see
is a nail, and you're a nail.
And I got a hammer, okay, and I'll take care of that. Okay, that's where I'm at mentally. All right, I would seriously if you, I mean, if somebody starts screwing with my family, I'll take them out. I mean, I will take them out. I will hang them up, or just drive them down to the police station, drive their carcass down there, and just kick them out of the passenger side, and say, "You deal with it." Yeah, what I'm saying is, can we have both? Or what I'm asking is, can we have both? Can we have that peace, but also the warrior spirit? Or is that incongruent with the way things should be?
No, I think it's both. I think it's both. I remember, I'm a vet, right?
So, yeah, that's true.
I tend to be an alpha character as well. You don't change being an alpha just because you walk with the Lord. I know plenty of guys, big dudes, strong dudes, that have taken people out on the battlefield and love the Lord with all their heart, and they walk in the peace that surpasses all understanding. But when they're called to duty, they're at duty. I mean, they will pound somebody, but I think it's both. And think about the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. He gives us wisdom on what to do in any given circumstances. You know, there's a time to be a hammer. There's a time maybe be a ruler. Maybe not pull him so bad.
And I'm glad you brought that up because you're absolutely right. That's, to me, that's what the Holy Spirit, that's kind of one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to keep our physical and mental emotions in line with the spiritual nature of being a Christian, I guess, if I said that right. But yeah, go ahead.
So the reality is, Doug, I mean, if the crap hits the fan, I think it's about to, and we're called to step up, right? Somebody's got to go through me to hurt my family, and I'm willing to die. I'm willing to protect them. And I have the means to protect them, at least somewhat. So somebody will have to go through me, and I'm not going to stand aside while they get hurt. That's just called being the man of the house. That's called being, you know, the leader in your household.
Right.
And there's a time for that. Being a Christian is not about being a mamby-pamby sissy boy. That's not what it's about. There's plenty of those in the country already. The other ones with different color hair and stuff. But I digress. but you know, it is about walking circumspectly. You know, it's about thinking about your walk. Am I walking with the Lord? Am I representing him? Do I, you know, I'll give you a good example. I know I've been talking about Joe Rogan last little bit, But there's another guy on Joe Rogan. His name is Chad Wright. Have you ever heard of Chad Wright?
I don't think so.
Chad Wright is an ex-Navy SEAL. And it's funny because he's got a big old long beard now, right?
No, I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. He's a motivational speaker now, entrepreneur, that kind of thing. And the guy was talking to Joe Rogan about the Lord and nailed him. I mean, it was just like, look, I don't have anything to tell you. I'm not here to convince you about anything. I'm just telling you who he is and what he's done for me. Now, there's a guy who is, you know, a Navy SEAL.
I saved that clip. I think it was like a 3-minute, somebody excerpted like 3 minutes of that, and I saved that. Fantastic. 3 minutes well spent. Go ahead.
But here's a perfect example. That guy is a killer when he has to be, right? He's a Navy SEAL, right? But he's gentle enough to share the gospel with Joe Rogan to the point of Joe Rogan's on the edge of his seat, listening to him and talking to him. And he's honestly evaluating where he is in his life. And you got the feeling in that clip that it wasn't just Chad grandstanding. This was an open, honest conversation, and Joe Rogan was all in. He wanted to hear what he had to say. It wasn't just, I'm the interviewer, so I got to act like, no. It was like, golly, I've never heard it like this. So there's an example. You know, we have to be men, but at the same time, we have to be gentle enough to hear what the Holy Spirit says and be led by him. There's a time for peace and there's a time for war, the Bible says. And it falls to, you know, the same people to have both sides of that. So there's a time for everything under the sun. And I, you know, I get the feeling that we're about to see some of that. In the end, though, the crazy thing is, right, we want to resist until the end. But the Bible says that we are going to lose. Did you know that?
That Jesus, we are going to lose.
Jesus said.
We win in the end.
Well, in the end. Because he won, not us, right?
We're
he
true. Won.
But it says that you will have tribulation as you have always had tribulation. Because in that same dissertation where he's talking about the things that are about to happen, earthquakes in diverse places, and the beasts and the days of Noah, he says, and then they will take you and deliver you, and you will be killed for my sake. That's not very promising. And then when you look at Revelation, it says that there is a sea of martyrs, right, that were killed for their faith, right? But it's how we die. You can go out screaming and fearful, or you can – and the best way that I can put this, and don't get me wrong, I will resist till the end, right? But my point is that it's not always honky-dory. You know, it's not always, gee, this is really great and it's going to be wonderful. Here's what gets me, right? The modern church today is like, bless me, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. And, you know, I'm the head, not the tail, and everything's fine. And, you know, God will bless you and bless your business and bless your work and all this stuff. It's all great. It's not the case, right? We go, as believers, we go through some tough times. You've had your own tough times, right? So it's not always wonderful, right? It is hard times. But the power of the Holy Spirit to help us through those very, very difficult times. See, that's the difference. Otherwise, we go through that stuff on our own. And what good are we? I mean, I don't know. Some of the stuff that I've been through, I don't know how I would have done it without the Holy Spirit, honestly. I mean, I just don't. Some of the stuff you went through, how could you have done it without the Holy Spirit? The point is that...
Yes. And everyone listening has gone through it. At some level, you've gone through that. And you wonder, you look back, maybe it was a year ago, 2 years, 5, 10, 20, whatever. I can't believe I made it through that. Well, in most cases, like you said, you know, how can you make it through without the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Because... And you have to realize you're not alone. God is with you through the Holy Spirit. You're right. You're 100% right.
It takes yielding our life, right? He just doesn't show up because we're going through a bad time. If we are his, then he shows up, right? And if we yield our life to him, say, Lord, I need your help, then he shows up. He's not there for everybody. He's there for his kids, right? He's there for his own. So you have to make sure that you're part of his own. So getting back to what I was saying about the sea of martyrs that are in Revelation, right? I think about the Coptic Christians. Remember the Coptic Christians that were seen on the beach in orange jumpsuits? Probably it's probably about 15 years ago now, maybe 20, where ISIS got a hold of them, and they got their heads off.
Yep.
Right? How did they cut their heads off? What were they doing? Were they screaming in bloody fear? They knew they were going to die. They were singing hymns, Doug. They were dying, waiting, knowing that one minute they would close their eyes, the next minute they'd wake up and they'd be with the Lord. That's power. The enemy can take your life, but he can't take your spirit. That's the whole point of this exercise, right? We are going to go through some tough times. People that we know are going to be hurt. Some may die. We may die. But in the end, how are we going to die? How are we going to live? Are we going to... Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the Apostle Paul. So Paul was facing and knew exactly what he was facing. He knew that he was going to die. But how are we going to live? And how are we going to die? We choose.
You raise an interesting point, because how many people know how the apostles of Jesus Christ died? Folks, if you don't know, but you don't laugh. Don't laugh, because a lot of people don't know how the apostles died.
Every single one of them was martyred, except John. And John wrote Revelation. He died an old man on the island of Patmos. He was exiled. But everybody else, Peter died upside down on a cross, right? They were going to crucify him. He said, don't crucify me like the Lord. Hang me upside down. So they hung him upside down. You know, people got their heads chopped off. Paul got his head chopped off. People got stoned, right? So this is not an easy walk, but it's the in-between that I'm talking about. God can be with us in the difficult times as he is now. You know, when things get really, really hard and you're going through something really, really bad, you can go through it yourself. You can be on a bunch of medications, still not be right. You can talk to psychologists and psychiatrists, and I'm not downing that stuff. I'm just saying, in the end, your maker, the creator of your soul, Jesus, is able to touch you in ways that man cannot, that medication cannot. I'll tell you a story, and I don't think I've ever told this story publicly. I'll tell you, just between you and I.
Just between us, yes, please.
I told you I'm from Los Angeles, and my upbringing was ugly. I mean, it was ugly, and it was really hard. And so one of the things that I did to get out of my situation is I joined the military. I had choice, of course, so I joined the Air Force, and I was always a thinker. I wasn't like the regular people. I knew guys that were gangs. I wasn't going to be a gang. You know, and I remember I went for a weekend at the University of Santa Barbara. I was going to get a full ride. Maybe not a full ride, but I was going to get a scholarship, right? And they asked me to come down and take a look at campus. I didn't remember the weekend.
Okay. That happens.
So I was like, okay. And little did I know that UC Santa Barbara at the time was like the biggest, I didn't know this at the time, the biggest party school in the United States. At that time. So I was like, okay, it's probably not a good idea for me to go here. So anyway, when I got in the Air Force, I was wild. I mean, I was still wild. And but I was messed up inside. I was broken. But this was my escape. If you've been in the military, and this is back in the early 80s, late 70s, right? They were pretty tough on us back then. And I remember you know, crying out to God. And I wasn't a Christian then. I remember crying out to God. And I felt this peace that came over me. It would be a couple of years before I came to know him, probably 3 or 4 years before I really came to know him, asking him in my life. But the point is that he helped me through that difficult time. And eventually he came into my life. And I will tell you this. I have never seen Jesus. I have never seen the Lord. Steve Quayle has seen the Lord on 2 different occasions. And I've recorded some of that. But I have never seen the Lord, but I have heard the Lord. I just told you that my situation is really tough. I mean, I, I would suppose now that I think about this now in retrospect, I probably didn't feel loved, right? But so my wife to be, she wasn't my wife then. We were engaged. I'd already become a Christian. She had sent me a quilt, and I was in the barracks. Back then, a barracks was really like a dorm room for the Air Force. There was two bunks in there, but I didn't have a roommate, so it was just me in there. So I went in on lunchtime. I didn't want to eat. I was tired, so I was going to take a nap. So I wrapped myself up in that quilt, and I fell asleep. And all of a sudden, I heard, "I love you," and it shook me. You know, I used to like loud rock and roll, and you knew it was good rock and roll because it shake you from the inside, right? So it shook me. I was like, I sat bolt up in my bed. I was like, "What the hell?" Hello? And I had this impression that it was Lord. And I say impression, but so I didn't hear an audible voice, but I felt the Holy Spirit say, "It's okay, it's me." Right. So I laid back down, and now I wasn't asleep. And he said it again, "I love you." And I knew it was the same thing. My chest shook. I was wide awake, and I knew it was him. And I just started praising him because it's what I needed. Now, why did I tell you this story? Because we go through some stuff just because we are Christians, right? Just because we ask the Lord in our heart doesn't mean that we don't go through some stuff. And we're fixing to walk through some ugly stuff. I mean, when I tell you it's ugly, it is about to get really, really ugly. So how do we face that stuff? Well, you don't want to face it alone. I mean, some of us are already going through stuff. You want to face those things by yourself, or you want peace that surpasses all understanding? That only comes with Jesus. And I didn't come here to talk about that kind of thing, but I can't help it. I cannot separate the times that we are walking into and that.
Doesn't that go back to the quantum mechanics and quantum physics? Because the way that God created the universe allows for that, it provides for that, doesn't it? I mean.
Well, it really, really does. And the only reason I talk, because I want to put some substance behind the religiousness that we've come to know, right? Excuse me. So we're trained to go to church, depending on what denomination you are. You go to church, you sit up, you stand up, you sit down, sit up. You say these hymns, you sing these hymns, you say these eulogies, you hear these eulogies, depending on what denomination you are. That's religion, is that relationship? See, that's the question. And I'm not dogging anybody's denomination. I'm just saying, what I'm talking about is relationship with the Lord. I'm not talking about religion. And when you begin to think about the stuff that we do in a religious aspect, it's surface stuff. It's not deeper stuff. It's not, a funny thing is, it became known as the Day of Pentecost in Acts, but the very first day of Pentecost was the day, I forget the word it was, but it's when Moses came down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments. And so he comes down off the Ten Commandments, and he talks to the people, and the people are standing back. They're standing, because there's Mount Sinai, and God's on the mountain. Moses got back. Actually, maybe it was before he went there. But so it said, the Bible says that they see lightning and they see thunder. They see thunder. How do you see thunder? Well, the language kind of gives the impression that saw tongues of fire. Isn't that interesting? Because that's what happened in Acts. But anyway, so they got freaked out by the noise and stuff like that. And so they're all standing back. They look at Moses and say, "Moses, you talk to God for us. We'll let him talk to you, and then you tell us what he wants." So they put this barrier between them and God. And so that's, in my mind, that's kind of like what religion is like, right? We put this barrier between us and God, not the Bible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm not talking about walking with Jesus. I'm not talking about those things, right? I'm talking about the things that we do in religion, right? Number one, the Bible, I believe, is absolutely correct that we should follow. We should do these things. But the idea that we when we go to church and we have this priest that stands between us and God, or we have this pastor that stands, it in our minds, it takes away the necessity or the need for us to walk with him directly. It's like what the Israelites said to Moses, you talk to him and we'll talk to you. But that's never what God wanted. And our friend Steve Quayle is here. Isn't that right, Steve?
The BOLO worked, the APB worked. Folks that you're listening to, Daniel Holdings, danielholdings.com, notshaken.tv. Links will be in the program description box. Now with us, in addition to Mr. Daniel Holdings, who has been absolutely holding down everything and really providing a great value for your dollar. Now with us is Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. Steve, jump on in, join us. Yeah, now it's a party.
Daniel, again, thank you so much for holding down the fort. And I'm appalled at the twisting and the absolute perversion of real news and what I would call the vomit brokering going on. Now, Daniel, I did hear the last 1 or 2 minutes that you were talking about, but in the finishing this show, I want people to keep in mind a statement I made from a decade ago, and it's to remind everybody you're going to see the biggest double crosses, the biggest triple crosses, and the biggest quadruple crosses. That's a hard word. And then I added another one called pentacrosses. In other words, five times are people going to be deceived, and we can't tell what's real without an understanding of what Daniel was laying out. And this is why God wants us to know his word. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no way the human mind can comprehend the intricacies of the devil. We're not even supposed to focus on him, but good night. Doug, I know you've got to be surprised. I'm surprised at some of the, quote, people that are saying some of the things they're saying, especially on the Republican side, especially on the what I call commiecrats. I don't know if everybody caught that, but my new word, forget the word Marxist, that's like communist light. Commiecrats are basically communist Democrats that have set out to destroy this country. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that what Martin Armstrong said about the 18th being a key point, by the way, that's this coming Monday. Yep. I think we are even now, and I came in late, and Daniel, again, thank you. My family threw me an emergency birthday party, which was better than the hospital on IVs, I can assure everybody. And the point I wanted to take off on is that you cannot believe the American press. We cannot. As a reference point, look at everybody that's a big podcaster. And Doug, I'm talking guys like Goodnight Joe Rogan. I'm talking guys like Tucker. I'm talking about the people that really got behind the president. But now, ladies and gentlemen, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I want to share this. One of the most important scriptures I know is the woe unto him who leans. In other words, you base your walk in life on your own strength. The biggest man, the toughest man, the most well-trained man, the best super soldier can be brought down by the smallest virus. So what you're seeing happening in Alaska, what you're seeing behind the scenes, or forgive me, what you're seeing in front of the scenes is not indicative of what's going on behind the scenes. When Dmitry Dudeman, this is really important, Doug, I want people to recognize Dmitry Dudeman, Romanian pastor, brought to the United States, didn't speak English, when God showed him the time that Russia would attack the United States. And same thing with Henry Groover and all the different people that we put up, all the different visions. Now, these men and a few women are we're talking some of these guys are 70 and 80 years ago. And their testimony stands true. But Dmitry Dudeman's vision was when God showed him Russia and China, the men talking together. And this was in a separate vision. It's Hand of Help Ministries.com, or you can look up Dmitry Dudeman, Dudeman's vision. You'll find out that there are two countries that he was not given the identity of that would be joining to attack the United States. sense. And I'm telling you point blank, those two countries are NATO countries. I'm telling you point blank, they're France and Germany. I'm telling you, I said that, I think, Dan, you probably remember when we first met. It was probably 10 years ago, Doug, I would say at least that. And it was so out of everyone's wheelhouse, and quite candidly, no one could believe it. If you see the alliance now between Zelensky and pretty much the three big nations of NATO, Germany, obviously France, and obviously Britain, and I hope everyone's brought up to speed that the Russians took out a multi-billion dollar joint venture to produce long-range missiles in the Ukraine. Were you aware of that, Doug?
Slightly. Okay. Not at the granular level. Go ahead.
Okay. Brother, I'm so granular, you might as well call me beach sand, okay? Because at the granular level is where the action happens. Remember, we see headlines that are so manipulated, so contrived, so supported by lies that unless you have, and I have, and we have, the discernment of the Holy Spirit and the living God and the word of his testimony, most people are going to be caught completely off guard. Now, what are we fighting for tonight? Daniel, myself, you, we're fighting for the last breath of freedom. That doesn't mean we're freedom fighters, but here's the thing. Every single aspect of our life is going to be quantified, and it doesn't matter if it's Palantir, it doesn't matter whose database. You're in it, Doug. I'm in it. Daniel, we're in it. I remember one of the first shows, and I'm old enough to make this statement, 35 years ago, KHNC, Johnstown, Colorado, I made a statement. It wasn't original, and only God gets the glory on this, but he said, the time will come when you will not be able to believe your eyes what you see or believe your ears what you hear. Now, Daniel put together the warning on the front of my website, stevequayle.com. And Eric, if you can pull that up, I'm totally going the direction I think we need to go, because obviously Daniel's been holding down the fort and the information that he's given is critical. But one of the complaints that, Doug, I get from the CBC's Crybaby Christians is that I'm linking specifically, or Daniel's linking specifically, and Daniel and I are the only two people allowed to post on my website, okay? And that's because of experience, our friendship. No one knows me better than Daniel. You do in some realms, but in the writings that Daniel's done that have, I would say this, centered around our mutual callings, that no one knows me better. So he put up this warning, and Eric, it's the yellow and black kind of warning sign. I want to read it because I think it's important that people understand that there is no way it's going to be more impossible for people to tell what is AI. And again, in my opinion, that's alien multidimensional entity infestation. And if you know, Doug, will you read that? It's easier for you. My eyes are screwed up. I just can't.
Hold on 1 second here. Okay. I got it. All right. In 2025, 50% of internet content is AI generated by 2026. I don't want to go. Let me say that again. In 2025, that's this year, half of internet content is AI generated. By next year, 2026, that number will be 90%. In addition, the type of content is changing. There are now many more videos that then text articles as more people stream. Just because content is made using generative AI doesn't mean it's factually wrong. We will continue to research and evaluate the information, but as always, make sure you verify the information for yourself! Exclamation point.
So, Steve, if I can jump in here,
please.
Comment. This bulletin came up as a result of a listener's comment. So there's something that people need to understand, okay? The AI that we're seeing now is not necessarily the AI that we have to fear in the very near future. The AI that we're seeing now is what's called narrow AI, generative AI. It doesn't have the means to go beyond being a chatbot or making videos or doing text or whatever the case may be. But within a year, Steve, and this is the area that we wanted to go to toward the end of the show tonight, Doug. Within the year, it is estimated, even by the so-called godfather of AI, what's his name? Horton is his last name. He won a Nobel Prize last year for physics and AI. Within the year, they believe that we will see an artificial general intelligence. So artificial general intelligence is AI that's at least as smart as the smartest person in any given field, in physics, in being a doctor, whatever the case may be. That's what they believe we will see today, by the end of this year. Within 5 years' time, actually, some people say by 2027, if you remember, Doug, I actually mentioned that year, by 2027, we will see artificial super intelligence. That is the intelligence that you saw in the movie Terminator that took over and bombed the heck out of everybody. So, and that is exactly what the experts are warning, that we are getting ready to see artificial super intelligence, and that it will result in the extinction of humanity. This is the reason why we put up the warning on the website. Not because we are taking our hands off the wheel, we're just going to put whatever up. No, it's because there is no getting away from this, Steve. We are in this place where AI is everywhere, and you're right. It's watching us in everything we do. You can't get away from it. So that's the caveat. That's what we had to put that up, because people are like, oh, it's 1929 all over again, or 2020 all over again. No, it's way beyond that. We are in this realm that we have never, ever seen before.
I think it's critical, too, for the audience to understand there is a maxim in the intelligence world. And fortunately, by the grace of God, I hired some really smart analysts over the last 35 years that were with the NSA. They never violated their NDAs, and also the CIA. And what I want people to understand is that the intelligence that's being gathered when they admit to something, this is told to me by three multiple high-ranking, I'm not talking about field agents, but three high-ranking, two of them were deputy director of operations. That's where all the power lies, that when we admit to something, we only admit to what's coming after it's been done, okay? So when we're talking about, and I reject the word artificial, I believe that when Google and their Willow chip touched the multi-dimensions they were looking for, they ran into not just artificial superintelligence, but how smart are fallen angels, how smart is Lucifer that only Jesus Christ can deal with him. There are none of us that can take on the devil except in Jesus' name, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and loving not our life to death. What we've been able to do, Doug, and you hosted the program when we did the whole introduction to the Glyph Project, what we're finding out in that is so astonishing. Not only are we getting the language, let me just use a different word than glyphs. I think that trips people up. Symbols and ancient languages that are no longer recognized by contemporary society, nor have the symbols ever been correctly deciphered. And I think, I won't belabor the point, but after 600,000 of them in our database, and we're only at maybe, still think under 200,000, and that's all due to funding. And I'm not asking for donations. I'm asking for anybody that's got the financial capability to help underwrite this project. And look, when I make a statement like I'm going to make, this is the biggest private sector undertaking ever undertaken by anybody. It's that vast, it's that momentous, and only God himself could have brought this together. Now, how does this relate to what Daniel's been talking about in the first hour and 15 minutes? It relates totally. Ladies and gentlemen, every headline you see is orchestrated and written, but not by some artificial intellect. It's written by a supernatural entity. There are people that will go nuts when I say that. I'll take any debate anytime with anybody. That's not out of arrogance, but what we've been able to see, Doug, is that of those 12 dimensions, these are multidimensional entities. The Bible in Ephesians 6 talks about principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, and heavenly places, rulers of this present darkness. And so what we're telling people is the ASI, superintelligence, is now that the gates of hell have been opened and these entities are flooding our domain, human beings are cooperating with them, because if everyone will remember, the devil himself tempted Jesus and said, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kings of the world, all the kingdoms of the world, because they've been delivered in my hands. So in the quest for, how should I say this, complete domination and destruction of human beings, the ASI, not effectively in the public sector, but it's already being manifesting in the glyph, in the symbols, in the ancient languages, and we're picking that up. That's why this is so critical. If you, Doug, were as an investigator, or Daniel as an investigator, obviously one an author, obviously one a professional investigator, but when you start following the clues, either Daniel in your case, the storyline, or Doug in your case, to get to the bottom of a case, you have to look at the clues, but also not the clues. You try and date the clues, correct, Doug? Bloodstain evidence, when the person passed away, murdered, choked, whatever. And Daniel, obviously, when, and you shared with the people at the beginning of the show, I haven't seen any of it, but you shared about the things that the Lord had shown you in your fictional writing, correct?
Some of it. So, but you know, the other thing that I shared about, and this is interesting, audience, Steve did not know exactly how I was going to start. He didn't know. I mean, he got word last moment that he couldn't be there in the beginning. But Doug, this is really something. I talked about the quantum realm and how the quantum realm is a spiritual realm, and how entities from the quantum realm, fallen angels, demons, etc., are pervading our space, how they're coming into this space. And what did you just say? This is exactly what is going on right now. But the thing is, audience, I want you to know, he didn't know that audience, I want you to know, he didn't know that that's what I was going to talk about. He didn't know that. So that's really something. But yes, I talked a little bit about what was in my books.
Well, and I think this is critical, because, and this is the biggest promise that God makes that his people don't take seriously. Surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It is not the office of prophets. Now, we've got so many voices, so many choices, so many indications and contraindications. How does one navigate the most confusing matrix, and a matrix, multi-level matrix of information, disinformation, seduction, and everything rolled into one to confuse, to control, and ultimately destroy humanity? Simple. The way that is right for a man does not lie within that man. Look, we only have so much time. Doug, there'll come a time your broadcast will be the last. There'll come a time my appearance on your program or any program, including my own Q-Files, or Daniel, will be together in an incident like this. And for the record, everyone, Daniel is the only one who can post on my show. Should anything post on my website, should anything happen, and obviously, you know, that became real to me on my birthday, on second, you know, we won't go into all that. But I thank those of you who prayed for me, because, you know, I think, Doug, sometimes, and Daniel, people think I'm embellishing stuff or I want to be something I'm not. No, I just tell when they tell the truth, people think, oh, that really didn't happen. Well, I can tell you it certainly did happen, and it was strike two. And I'm just saying to everyone this. We can only give that which we have received by the Lord, and we're commanded, those of us who love Jesus and want to be obedient unto the end, to follow through on what he's telling us and told us to do. And so, Doug, in this case, we're talking about The Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It was a neat book written by Josh McDowell. I had a chance to meet him, I think, 50 years ago. What an amazing man. I don't know if he's still on earth or his son has taken over, but what an amazing man of God. The evidence is so apparent now that we are at World War III. We're watching things taking place in Alaska. The double crossing, the triple crossing, and the quadruple crossing, I can assure you, they're taking place right now. You cannot say one minute we're working for a peace deal with Russia and then saying we're going to bomb the SHIT out of them. And people better grow up, because that's a real word. And, you know, people are more offended by words than they are the millions of children that have been trafficked, slaughtered, aborted. They just, ladies and gentlemen, we are divorced from reality, in my opinion. And I call this generation the last of the Malachians, okay? We know that we're experiencing a time unlike any other in history. You guys have all said that. Those of you who have mocked the warnings, those of you who have mocked the scornings, those of you who think that taking after me or Doug or Daniel Holdings on forums or whatever runs on the side of your podcast in real time, you're going to die at some point. What we're fighting for is to give you as much time as you can to see the light. And so, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, and it's my time, 8:46, quarter to 9, which is quarter to 11 in Eastern, we're watching things behind the scene. Now, you can only know what's going on behind the scene as I'm made known or somebody else is made known. I just got off the phone with Hal Turner. Show of force is an interesting thing. I don't think, Doug, people in the entire world have gotten a better presentation, and I'm even talking even military, than we've given to your listeners, your audience, and Daniel, that we've written about and in the private briefings, in the Glyph Report, etc. But what people do with the information comes right down to the R word, responsibility. And most people do not want to take responsibility for their actions. Would you say that's true, Doug? And then Daniel, sign in. Would you say, Doug, that in your life experience, that most people don't want to take responsibility? And if you haven't, that's fine. There's no right answer. But what is your experience? And Daniel, I'll ask you the same question.
No, just real quick. It was very funny. I had... In 1996, I believe it was, I installed a covert camera, and this was opposite a drug cabinet, and the recording captured a woman. This was on the news here. This made it on the news. The recording, because it was one of the first of its type, the cases of its type. The recording captured the woman going into the cabinet, putting pills in her pocket. And then, of course, in real time, I caught her, called the police. She denied having been to the cabinet. She denied having taken anything. We showed her the videotape, the police, myself. And she said, I didn't do that. I don't have any pills. And it wasn't until she was made to take the pills out of her pocket and put it on the table that only then she said, well, but you can't really see it. I'm not admitting anything. The bottom line is very few people. You can show people exactly what they've done and they will still deny it. So, to answer your question, very few people take responsibility for their own actions.
And a great illustration, Daniel.
Well, of course I've seen such things. And it seems to be worse with this generation, Steve, than ever before. But I think it's indicative of the time that we are in. This whole generation, Gen Zers in particular, right, is in denial about their actions. I saw this video one time of a lady who had been detained by the police, and she had been drunk, and she ended up hitting like a couple. It was a car wreck, so she killed the people in the car. And so she's kind of a little bit sober, and she's talking to the guy about, to the sheriff about getting out of there and going home. She has school in the morning, and he says, he said, "You're not going anywhere." He said, "Do you not realize what you did?" And she said, "Not you gave me a speeding ticket." He said, "No." He said, "You killed some people in the car." "I did not. I did not kill them. I need to go home so I can get ready for school in the morning." Denial. But she was young. She's a Gen Zer. But it's just indicative of this generation. But you know, Steve, it occurs to me that when we all, because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we all will stand before the Lord and have to give account for our lives. That will not hold a tune in front of the Lord, right? The guy who knows everything. We can't sit there and say, "Well, no, I didn't know about you, Lord, so therefore I never accepted you." Or, you know, "I never repented because I didn't know I was supposed to." It's not going to happen, you know? So regardless of how they think about denying the truth, you know, there'll be a time when they won't be able to.
Well, and I think this is what's really important. And ladies and gentlemen, you're more than welcome to take this to the Lord in prayer. When I was saved the first 3-4 years, I literally was taken before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. I was translated there. And, you know, I knew so little. But when I saw Jesus, who I'd seen before, when that's how I got saved, eyeball to eyeball. And when you see Jesus and his eyes look into you, and every cell in your body explodes with love, every single atom of your creation understands you're in the position and the place of your creator, and there is no way to define in earth terms the absolute magnificent multiplied and manifold presentation of God's love. I had seen Jesus, but then he translated me, and I didn't ask to be translated, but I was literally kneeling on a couch. I know my address. In those days, it was 13 something South Forth in Bozeman, Montana, just pleading with God. I could not believe that there was a hell. And think about this. I just couldn't believe it, or I didn't have evidence of it. And then God gave me a literal vision of me falling into the blackest mass. The way I can liken it is asphalt was in me. I was in asphalt. There was no stability. I was like a flailing, you know, trying to grab onto something. Yet I never saw anybody help, but I heard the scream of the damned, okay? I heard the howling and the weeping. And Jesus said, in hell, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And in essence, the understanding was imparted to me. This is for somebody, listen to this, that hell is forever. And I can only say this, there is no quantifiable way, even if I make up words, to define the hopelessness, the despair, but the complete understanding that you never get to leave there. Okay, now that literally happened to me. And why this is imperative in what we're talking about tonight, ladies and gentlemen, right now we are at World War III. Right now there are plans and counterplans to foul any kind of agreement going on between the United States and Russia. We're on record as seeing literally Zelensky and all of NATO pissed off. I'm sorry if that word is offensive, but they're pissed off that basically they don't get a part of the action of, quote, supposedly NATO winning against Russia and dividing up the spoils into 41 separate states. And each person takes a part of Russian territory, Russian assets, Russian resources. I am telling you, thus saith the Lord God, you cannot covet anything that is your neighbors. Yet we see covetousness coming out of the headlines. We see war taking place. Now, I haven't talked to Martin Armstrong. I reached out to him the other day, haven't been able to connect with him, but his war computer Socrates, which is phenomenally accurate, shows the 18th as the launch point for everything. I can tell you I'm privy and by the grace of God, to what's going on in the realm of betrayal. And most people, Doug, would not believe it if I spilled my guts tonight on your show. And I won't, because I'm not allowed to. I'm not free to. And when I say I'm not allowed to, my prayer forever at On Talk Radio is, Lord, tell me what to speak, when to speak, and also when to shut up. A lot of people say, we should listen to that prayer more. But the point is that we're at World War III. The financial ruination of the United States of America, all you have to listen to is Catherine Austin Fitz, who, in my opinion, is one of the smartest individuals on the planet, and I have a lot of comparison. So when I say that, that's not flattery. That's not trying to endear myself to her. But every dollar that you see in the deficit that adds up to $37 trillion has been black money, black budget money, stolen from the American people. You've been hawked. You've been sold out, sold down the drain. And all that money's gone into intelligence agencies, the Defense Department, secret underground military bases, and by the way, they're worldwide, and in essence, rape, pillage, and plunder, the United States has gone under. I just posted a story, Daniel, moments ago before I came on, of the economic collapse. The Epic Economist, and it's getting dire, you guys, in the retail sector. It's getting dire, and it doesn't matter. The United States cannot reindustrialize without skilled machinists. We don't have enough engineers graduating. I mean, we got a lot of sandbox engineers with pink hair, pink green hair, nose rings, giant earlobes with everything dangling from it. Sometimes I think I'm surprised their brains aren't out. Now, look, that may date me, but you cannot reindustrialize without the raw materials. You cannot reindustrialize without the skilled labor. You cannot build it. You can't sign an executive order and say, voila, now we can make this. Russia and China have been building for World War III for 20 years. I know people that tried to... I'll be careful here. People that are some of the brightest minds that I've ever met, or I know their CVs, their bona fides, and the powers that be want them back, but they've looked at where we're at versus where we need to be and say, we can't do it. We're 20 years behind. But woe unto the nation that has forsaken the living God. And here's, Doug, the bottom line, because I know we're running out of time, and thank everybody for forbearing my late appearance, but we cannot catch up. We don't even have enough ketchup to put on our burgers because hamburger is disappearing. You know, I mean, it's getting to the point where I believe you'll see probably in 6 months, $15 to $20 hamburger a pound. We're seeing meat being robbed. We're seeing everything being robbed. And we're being plundered. And if you want to see what plunder is, go to Deuteronomy 28 and read the last, after about verse 15, 16, what happens to a nation that forgets God. And I want everyone to remember this. We, in the history of all the nations of the world, probably Antiochus Epiphanes, you know, was one of the only world rulers that ever made a fist at heaven, Nimrod before him. But and the commiecrats made the statement, God has no place on our platform. And the Republicans and the Republic whores, they forget God. Oh, they can talk religious terms and fake it. But there comes a time, and I've been there. I'll leave it with this, Doug. We all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus. He looks down, and here's how he said, why wouldn't I have given you so much, Steve, if you've done so little? And I thought it was on fire for the Lord. But I saw instantly the serious nature that the scripture, the Bible says, know you not that we'll all stand before the living God as Christians and give account, not for salvation, but for the reward of the righteous. And Daniel, again, I want to thank you for taking it. I'm sorry, but it had to be, and I'm grateful for my family that loves me. And